The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1066. It's Monday, the 14th of May, 2018. By the way, have you checked out our new podcast series? Please do. You can see it at voxmarkets.co.uk/businesslives, and it's where various members of the Vox team here, I've done one, and Martin's done one, and Will's done one. We talked to high profile guests from the world of business, and I had a chat to Justin, not myself, I'm not high profile, Justin Urquhart Stewart there. Very interesting life he's had, very interesting. Includes where he got shot while he's working for Barclays in Africa. But check that out. Okay, on today's podcast, I have Colin Bird, Chief Executive Officer of Galileo Resources, GLR. And Colin discusses the results from the final 8 diamond drill holes of its 26-hole drilling program on the Zambian Star Zinc Project. I also have on, first time on, Jeremy Asher, Chairman and CEO of Tower Resources. TRP is ticker there, and Jeremy goes over their recent news and discusses upcoming developments. Plus, I have Malky. It's a Monday. Malky's on as a regular oil and gas sector authority there, talking about Present Energy, that's PPC, Eco Energy, Eco, Trinity Oil and Gas Exploration, TRIN, Amerisur Resources, that's AMER, Savannah Petroleum, SAVP, and iGas. Ticker there is iGas, of course. And, as always, I have the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top 5 most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now, a very busy man, who's like we were speaking yesterday, it's Colin Bird, Chief Executive Officer of Galileo Resources, GLR ticker. Colin, thanks for coming back on.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, you've had some more news out on your Star Zinc drilling project and the drill results coming out here. So we'll get into that in a bit. Before we do, as always, Colin, for people not aware of Galileo Resources and what it's all about, could you summarise the project, please?
Yeah, well, Galileo is and always has been and probably always will be an opportunity-driven company. If I see an opportunity, then we go after it. That doesn't make us ambulance chasers, by the way. I guess we'd have a load of lithium in the company, but when I say opportunity, what I like is big databases worked by the majors. If he was to generate that database in a standing start, might cost you 20 million, might cost you 30 million to generate it. So I've spent a career doing just that, looking around for the opportunity where the majors have walked for all sorts of reasons. Often, you know, we don't like that particular country, or often they've not changed the personnel often enough to have an objective firm view on the project. And thirdly, of course, if a geologist has been on a project for more than 5 years, dogma sets in, and that's very dangerous. So what have we got? We've got Star Zinc, which we're extremely pleased about. We've got Glenover Phosphate, which we should be turning into an operating proposition in the next year. Maximum a year, hopefully towards year end. And we've got a big gold copper project on the newly developing Carlin Trend in Nevada. And quite frankly, Justin, we just can't get at that because time and resources. But boy, you know, it's in the right position. And you might ask me, well, aren't you worried about losing it? No, I'm not, because if you pay your annual fees, it's yours. So in actual fact, not alone lose it, we've added to it. So two projects there, one which has gone into production, and the Star Zinc is showing all of the right things.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's go into it then, Carl. I like the fact you have a system there. I like that because I'm an investor. That's why I love doing these podcasts and chatting to guys like yourself there who've got experience and know. So it's always nice to hear that you have a system and you look out for certain things, like a big database that will save you lots of money, but has proven there's something, you know, there worth looking at. So I like that. So let's go into these results you've announced then, Colin. So a mixed kind of bag. Are you happy with them?
Well, I'm just going to go back to the other point as well. You know, sometimes, I can be criticised for having a lot of projects on the go, but going back to your last point, sometimes it takes a year, 15 months, 2 years to get the project what fits all the criteria. But, you know, a lot of trains have stopped at the station for companies I'm involved in, and you're absolutely right. If it meets the criteria, get stuck in there. And that's exactly what I've done and what we've done with the various companies I'm associated with. But back to do we like and the results? They're very good. I think on the last podcast I talked about a project with a central core. I think knew that as far back as 1961. Admin in the 80s, 90s, they also knew it, but they didn't spend much money on drilling. And if this project was going to be a good project, it really had to have a lot more ore. And the high-grade material I've talked about can actually be trucked away for direct smelting. So this set of results you'll notice are in, I don't know, between fours and fives and eights, and a few of them have got an high grade component which we didn't expect on the east, as high as 15. So do we like them? We like them a stack, because as I put in my tables, you know, $3 3% zinc is about $90 rock at today's prices. And when you've got a subject, when all you have to do is scrape and leach, they are very, very good results, because it certainly ain't going to cost you $90 to do it. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you well below half of that. So, yes, I'm delighted with them. And what does please me, I guess, more than anything, is that, well, not more than anything, because they're quite a neat set of results, but, you know, a lot of them just actually report straight to surface. You're actually standing on the zinc, and you've got 20-odd metres of it. Mm-hmm. What a pleasure. What a pleasure that is, you know, when you've got to scrape the stuff and you take your zinc off to your pad, you put some sulfuric acid through, and, you know, on the lower grade, you can have an open leach pad, and then on the higher grade, you can have vat leaching. And then on the even higher grade, you can take it away for direct smelting. So what a pleasure. We've got all the ore types, and the cast, I'm convinced, the oxides. I do refer to it as peripheral material. I don't necessarily think that's the best description, but it's the best I can do at the moment. And it's certainly an high-grade core. And then surrounding that high-grade core is a mid-low-grade mineralization style, which quite frankly lends itself to leaching, lends itself to digging cheaply, and will basically support the main prognosis. So are we happy? Yes, we're happy.
Excellent. And so what's next in the project here, Colin?
Well, the next is that, you know, there's a lot of what it might be and what it might not be from Charter Consolidated. And Admin, they jumped up and down on the spot and told everyone what it might be and what it might not be. But probably we've done more work on this project than anybody from a big database, which quite frankly wasn't used properly. So what next? We've got geophysics, an expression on surface from previous work in the 80s. That geophysics, I think I said on a podcast not long ago that it made me scratch my head, that we were getting zinc in high gravities and we're getting zinc in low gravities. The reality is there's a direct correlation between the cast and the oxides, low gravity. And there's a direct correlation between the willemite and really high grade material. So, but what we're doing, just to avoid any problems, we're running certain geophysics, all the types of geophysics, over the core to see which is the best. There's an iron content just above the mineralization style. And we're testing to see whether that's amenable to resistivity, conductivity. And then there's only one thing you can do in terms of, is there any more? Go out and test it. And that's what I want to do in the not too distant future. We're doing a scoping study, probably the precursor to the scoping study will be modeling. So we're going to model this. We're going to model the cast and the oxides separately. We're going to model the high grade material separately, east and west. We're looking at orientation, thickness, and faulting, because faulting plays a big part in the actual conduit to let the fluids come up down below. And Justin, you know, the big thing here is, of course, what's down below. If we look at the sister project, which went, I don't know, 1920 to 1990 for 70 years, 60 years, that always had this willemite on top and then a big sulfide source below. So I'm going to do geophysics. We're going to do geophysics. We're convincing that hole number two that we reported, we think that that's probably the site for the fluids. And we'll be probably sticking a deeper hole there because nobody's tested that either. They've just been happy bunnies with the willemite. And, of course, not so happy bunnies because in 1961, the Cadbury project was sulfides. So this willemite was a diversion. It's not a diversion to us. It's a real discovery. And obviously the ambition now is to grow it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, Colin, looks like you're getting on with things and you're happy there. But for people listening right now who are listening to this and are also, you know, hearing the potential but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons, if you could, why they should hit that follow button on your page, ticker GLR on Vox Markets, and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, first of all, we're in, you and I had a chat before the show. You and I are convinced that the fortunes for base metals are great. So this zinc project, 40 minutes from the town centre, it couldn't be a better place in the country. One knows all about mining. We've made a real discovery, and we've turned around what was thought about the project, and we've only had it for about 8 months. And again, like I always say, the entry price is very, very low. You've got a company which is 1.5p, 1.4p, a very low market cap. A zinc discovery of a few more holes and increase the magnitude will certainly make this a totally different company, notwithstanding the fact that there's production around the corner and a major project in America not yet tested. So good time to get in the company, I would say, as well, for the third point.
Excellent stuff, Colin. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Hopefully, thank you. Thanks a lot, Justin. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Jeremy Asher, Chairman and CEO of Tower Resources. That's TRP. To get Jeremy, thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Justin. Thank you.
And it's always a pleasure to get a new company on and to share the story. We've not talked before. So for Jeremy, so people listening right now, maybe some have heard of you, some are investors, some may not have. So could you explain what Tower Resources is all about, please?
Well, Tower is an AIM-listed oil and gas company with a focus on sub-Saharan Africa. We have a license in Cameroon with oil and gas already discovered on the block. And our first priority is to get that oil discovery into production and then to appraise and develop the rest of the block. But we also have a 50% share in an offshore block in South Africa operated by New Age, which contains several attractive prospects, and two exploration blocks in Zambia.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, you recently announced the award of reserves report contract to Oil Life. This is about the CPR. Can you be more precise with your estimate of when you expect the CPR to be completed in the coming months, please?
Well, we expect it to be completed by early June. You can never be quite sure with these things, but I am pretty certain we'll have it ready in June.
Okay, and can you sort of elaborate on what is required from here in order to have a sort of firm drilling plan by Q3?
We need to complete our G&G work, which also feeds into the CPR, the reserves report. And we need to select final locations for the first well and potentially a second well also. We need to adopt a final well design and negotiate MOUs covering the rig and other services with the appropriate contractors. But we intend to complete all of this by mid-July. Our environmental and social impact survey is the other thing that we have to get done before drilling, but it's also underway and also on track for completion in July.
Okay, all right. And so you mentioned drilling there. So when do you think, a sort of practical drilling time is going to be achieved? Is it going to be this year or next?
Well, this year is still possible. However, timing is going to depend on the final drilling plan and on financing. Our focus is to keep costs as low as we can. And one of the ways to do that is to be ready to be flexible on timing so you can accommodate the availability of different rigs and also different companies' schedules. But that may result in the well spudding in 2019 rather than 2018.
Okay. And if you could explain, what are the main sort of factors that will determine your drilling timeline? I mean, surely once the CPR is in place, I presume that securing the funding is one of the main issues, is it?
Well, as I've said, minimizing the cost of drilling mm-hmm. by accommodating the availability of the different rigs and different companies' schedules is a priority for us, regardless of how the next stage of the work is going to be financed. But financing is obviously important, and there are a number of options for financing the drilling. We could use vendor risk sharing, bank financing if we plan to go beyond a well test to immediate production, or we could farm out, or we could use our own equity. When we're clear on the best development strategy, that may make some financing options look more or less attractive or more or less feasible. So clearly the financing then needs to be put in place, but I expect the financing strategy will be driven by the development strategy, even if it's closely linked to it. And the drilling timetable will then follow from those choices.
Yeah. Take us through, I mean, you mentioned there farm out, the possibility of farm out. I mean, I don't know if you've been putting feelers out there or people approached you, but what's it feeling like at the moment?
Well, I'd say the farm out market, like the equity market, is feeling much more buoyant now than a year ago. Higher oil prices help, of course, because they improve project economics, and they also mean existing producers have more cash flow to invest. So there's more demand for farm outs, as well as the farm outs themselves, all projects just looking more attractive. But I think there's also a deeper understanding across the industry and among investors that a potential supply gap is coming, independently of Middle East tensions and despite the increasing production in the US. And all of that creates both a need and an opportunity for more investment in future production. So even though we're not viewing farm out as being the only way or even necessarily the best way to go, we have had some unsolicited farm out interest. And I think that generally it's a much better environment for raising capital. In this context, I should also mention our South African offshore license, though, the Algoa Gumtus block, which is operated by our 50% partner New Age, because we in New Age are definitely considering a farm out of our joint interest in that block. There's been quite a lot of farm out activity in South Africa during the past few months, with drilling expected in the area this year. The joint venture's work on Algoa Gumtus has identified some very attractive prospects, both for oil and gas, and we would like to bring a partner in to help us drill those prospects. So I hope the stronger farm out market will also help us in New Age achieve that goal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And finally, is there anything you can add on possible new license award timing in both Namibia and Cameroon?
Well, I can't really talk about applications in progress, and I expect these may take a while to come to fruition anyway. It took around 18 months for us to get from notice of a successful application in Cameroon to having an executed production sharing agreement. But we're certainly keeping one eye on the future, even while our near-term focus is total commitment to early production in Cameroon.
Understood. Okay, well, Jeremy, if someone's listening to this and likes the sound of where you're at and the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story, could you give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please?
Well, first, we have a great investment proposition in Cameroon, with oil already discovered on the block. Second, we'll have plenty of news over the next couple of months as we complete our CPR reserve report and prepare for drilling. And third, we will be drilling soon, and we have a clear path to production.
Excellent stuff. Jeremy, good to chat to you. And like you say, you've got a lot of news coming out, so hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I look forward to that.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority. It's Monday. It's Malky. You're it, fella.
Yeah, top of the show, and lovely sunny day, and in good nick. Thanks, Justin, and hope yourself.
Yeah, not too bad. I hope you wasn't involved in that the scuffles in Ascot over the weekend, were you, Malky? Have you seen that?
I wasn't at Ascot, and although I do love the racing, as you know, but I have noticed that in the last few weeks there have been one or two rather peculiar incidents at the race courses, which have been put down to drinking, but my my reading of it is it might be more to a white powder than a drink.
Yeah, exactly. Well, someone said that the queues at the toilets, in the men's toilets, was very big. And I think that gives a clue to way as to, you know, why are people taking so long on the toilets? And, yeah, and it just suggests lots of things are happening there. That, and it's happened at Goodwood, Ascot. And, yeah, I mean, maybe dressed in suits, but they are thugs underneath, aren't they, most of these people?
You know, yeah, I mean, it looks like you're right. There's an unusually long queue for the gents. And when you see the videos on social media, all the people involved are sort of what you might call middle class, quite well off, middle aged blokes getting into a sort of punch up after getting their minds scrambled, so to speak.
Yeah, cool. Anyway, let's get into more, you know, gentlemanly stuff like stocks and shares. So, what company are you be looking at, Malcolm? What's happening news wise?
Well, yeah, I'm looking at a bunch of companies as usual, but there's quite a big sort of what you might call impact from one or two of the Latin American West Indies type stocks. So, I'm talking about President, I'm talking about Amerisur, I'm talking about Echo. And obviously also talking about Savannah and much closer to home, IGAS, and of course Trinity, which is in Trinidad. So a few to look at there.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, well, I think President is probably top of the list. They've suffered a bit lately because, of course, there have been a few sort of tales of woe about the domestic situation in Argentina, but nothing is going to hold them back, and they're still getting, you know, $66 or something for their oil, and they're doing extremely well. So they've announced today a 7-well workover program on their Puesto Flores permits, which has already started. They're expecting to have 6 producing wells and a water injector up there, which you know, is way better than I was expecting. Also, they've started a long-term test of the gas wells that they're drilling at Estancia Vieja field, and they expect combined sales of gas to commence next month. Again, which would be, you know, very good news indeed. And finally, they've started an accelerated 3-well drilling program at Puerto Flores, which will commence in September. They've already got discussions going with the rigs, the rig contractor, and all the other contractors on the go. I expect further good news from the President. The stock has languished unnecessarily. It really is cheap as chips, and that part of the world is doing very well. And I can stay in that part of the world. I can even stay in Argentina, because Echo Energy, who've got off an absolute flying start in Argentina when they were on Fracción D, they've had their successful workover wells there, and you know, there could be further good news coming through, and discoveries there are, you know, oil and gas and close to infrastructure with a potential reasonably inexpensive pipeline. But obviously, you know, the next exciting thing is the ELM 1004 well on Fracción C, which looks, you know, it could be very exciting indeed, I expect more to come from there. So it's going to be a very exciting few months. I put an Echo into the bucket list in February because I thought that, you know, even if I waited until July, when there's the next opening for a change in the list, they might have already got underway. I think that's the case, and I wouldn't want to miss the boat on this stock. While we stay,
I'm looking at two of those charts here, President, and I mean, President had a rise at the end of last year, of course, but it's trading in a range, and you know, consolidating, and same with Echo, really. I mean, I always like to look for this in charts. I mean, I make sure I don't jump in after a spike.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
sorry, Malcolm. Excuse you.
Bless you, mate. Bless you.
That's a welcome hay fever, I think.
Yeah. So, staying in that neck of the woods, I'm talking about Trinity. Mm-hmm. exploration and production. Trinity is one of the best managed stocks in the whole sector, and Trinidad is popular at the moment. I noticed there's some good statements from Touchstone. Range is picking up substantially there. And I know that Leo Coote is doing extremely well with Columbus. But in Trinidad and Trinity, we saw figures last week which were show that the company's in fantastic nick at the moment. Results last week showed that the 2017 was definitely, it was a game-changing year. They proved that they could sort out all their problems from previous years. They concluded all their debt, and because the oil price increased production and extraordinarily tight management of costs, they've paid down debt by significantly more than expected, and so they're ahead of schedule there. Cash is coming in, which helps that as well. We've got an increase in reserves of 50%, earnings are up 77%, and margins, which are really important in this company, probably one of the highest margins in the whole of the sector, certainly in the stocks that I cover, up at 24.3%. That's up from 17.6% in the previous period. And so, you know, what they're doing is that they've started, not only have they been doing all the recompletions and the workovers and the scrubbing, but they've recommenced onshore drilling. So they're increasing production against what they say is a largely fixed cost base. So that means that higher netbacks and margins are high. I think Trinity is looking in absolutely cracking nick now. It's got the worst behind it. Almost paid off the debt. Cash will be higher, revenues are higher, margins are very high. I'm so glad that I put this in the bucket list.
Yeah. TRIN, cool. And I try and avoid spikes, but it's always good to look at trends as well. And this has been trending upwards, and it's been bouncing off that 200-day moving average. It goes up, comes back, pulls back to that, goes up, pulls back. But it hasn't gone below that, you know, which is a very good trend, a strong trend, upward trend. So it's nice there.
Yeah, yeah. While we're in that part of the world, I'll stay in Colombia for Amerisur.
Yeah.
Another good update. There's a very exciting bunch of wells to be drilled starting in the next week or two. They've got their biggest potential is the N-Sands exploration well, which is scheduled to spud any time now. That's a potential 11.5 million barrels, which is very exciting. They've got the Indico 1 well, which is on the CPO-5 permit to the north, which they've already had success on, I think that would look good. And they've got a big well coming up early next month, Put 8, that's the Mariparibe well, which would also bring in some very, very substantial numbers. Amerisur has held back quite a long way. I'm not quite sure why, because as you and I remember you doing the calculations, you know, if they're producing 6,000 or 7,000 barrels a day, mm-hmm. they're getting over $60 for it. The costs are about 18, so they've got cash netbacks of over $40 a barrel. All this is just filling up the cash, and by the end of the year they'll end up having to pay a dividend if they're not careful. But either way, the company is in cracking nick.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know a lot of people who know the story. It's the old adage, when you release financial results, you know, some people read them, and it sort of happened for BT this week. I think, you know, they're turning the thing around, but you have to understand that's a historical document you're looking at there. That's like from over 3 or 4 months back, and it's of the last year. Now, the thing to look out for is the current updates and the outlook, and when that's looking very bullish compared to the previous year, you think, hang on, you've got to sort of reevaluate the company, you know, and some people don't look at outlook, they look at what's happened rather than what's going to happen, and share prices are all about what's going to happen, you know, so...
Yeah, exactly, and I always say when I'm writing, when some results come out, I go, you know, historic results are just what that is, historic, and to a certain extent meaningless, because since the result of the period is finished, you've had drilling updates, you've had reserves updates, you've had cash flow updates, you've got, you know, they've all got to produce an announcement when something happens. So, the, you know, there's nothing in the results that is new. But in the case of Trinity, just it's important to tell how much of a turnaround year it was and how well they're doing right now. And in terms of Amerisur, they've got three or four potential absolutely cracking wells coming up to drill. So that's the exciting thing on those fronts.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff, Malky. Thanks for that. And we'll speak...
Not quite finished.
Oh, hang on. Go on.
I wanted to mention Savannah. Because I think there's continued good news from Savannah, because they've spudded that second well in Niger.
Yeah,
where we've got potentially very good news. Don't forget that first well, Bashar 1, came in very nicely indeed. So I would expect that to, you know, to be, you know, it's still an exploration well. So you know, never know, but it would be very exciting. And I think that you know, the market has been concerned that it's taking quite a long time to get the Seven Energy deal completed. I wouldn't be too concerned about that one bit. That's carrying on as far as I'm aware. And we'll hear more tonight, because Andrew Knott, the CEO, is speaking. There's a big oil and gas presentation tonight. Savannah is one of the presenters. So Andrew Knott will touch base with everyone there. And we're all going to hear from Coro tonight. That is really exciting, because James Menzies, who's the founder of Salamander, as you know, has joined there, and we expect good news from there. And I think Matt Idions, who's the CEO of a company called Rose Petroleum, which I'm going to talk about next time, is presenting as well. So, you know, all that's tucked in there nicely. And one final thing is, I met with the management of IGAS last week.
Yep.
Steve Bowler is the CEO there. And IGAS is in remarkably good nick for if you're a holder of that, if you've got punters who are holders of that. The conventional side of the business, as you would expect with $75 oil, is doing very well indeed, and fully backs the current value of the company on its own. But onshore UK is beginning to get much more exciting, with Quadrilla got a lot of work coming up, and themselves, I guess themselves have got one or two really quite exciting things going on. You know, I would expect they've got potential drilling coming up in a number of their places, like Intermarches and Tinker Lane, and so, you know, just watch out that IGAS doesn't get left behind. It's a very good stock, very well managed, and very solidly backed up by reserves of conventional oil.
Yeah, excellent stuff, marvellous stuff there. And that's it, Marky. Yep.
Oh yes. Plenty there to work on, I hope.
Absolutely. Marvellous. Well, have a nice week, Malcolm. We'll speak next week. All right.
Thanks very much.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. Sorry about the silly noises. I record this alone. I have to amuse myself sometimes, you know. Okay, here they go. At five, Cora Gold. I like this company. I do hold shares in them. I wrote a blog on them a couple of weeks back, and they're a very interesting space. That's Cora. At four, Hemogenics. I also like that company. HEMO. I don't hold stock in that, though. Announced a collaboration today. At three, United Oil and Gas. UOG. Again, a company I do like. Hopefully, Brian's come on the podcast soon. UOG. They announced some news today. At two, Harvest Minerals. HMI. I just realised these companies, I pretty much hold stock in all of them, apart from HEMO, which I'm open to it. HMI announced news today as well. And number one, the most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, is Bizant Resources, BZT. And they've had a sort of strategic review of their assets. And I've checked these guys quite a while, quite a few times. And I didn't realise what assets they had, because they were always talking about their one asset. And now they decided to offload that, and they're looking because they love the copper price and the copper story. So they've offloaded their one sort of project in Colombia. They have two others in Argentina, and the big one in the Philippines, and it's a Mancayan project. and it's a massive resource. Massive. Now, Bezant is like a sub 4 million market cap company. And this resource they've got has the potential to generate after-tax cash flow of $3.7 billion. It's nuts, and it's copper gold. And that's particularly why I do like it. Apart from the size, copper is, you know, it's going to be the commodity of the next 20 years. There's a lack of new mines coming on stream, but the demand is going up through all kinds of renewable energy, which copper is used in, of course, along with traditional. You know, so you've got the EV car revolution happening. Copper, 3 or 4 times as much copper used in an EV compared to a traditional car. So there's going to be a massive demand on copper in the next few years. And this, you know, it's dynamic. The demand's going up, but supply is going to be coming down. Because all the big mines are not coming, I mean, are going offline pretty much, and there's nothing to replace it. So that's why I like it. So BZT, I wrote a blog on the weekend. Have a read of the blog. It's very interesting. Okay, it's time for the top 5 most popular RNSs. At 5, Petrometad, operational update. At 4, Berkeley Energia, appointment of chief commercial officer. At 3, MySquare Limited, MYSQ, mobile money platform launch. At 2, United Oil and Gas, completion of Jamaican 3D seismic survey. And number 1, most liked RNS, it's been a long time coming. It's Harvest Minerals HMI MAPA application conditionally approved.
With Justin Waite, nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about.
That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz. Discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.